Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Spectrum Cannabis with your hosts, Calandra Revering and Lance Asher. They're here again this week in the studio, and they've got a guest. So go ahead, boys and girls.
That's Sam.
Let's do this.
That's Sam. We're so excited.
I'm very excited.
We have a guest again.
We do.
Corey Lake.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite people, too.
Why?
Just because, so I first saw him on the cover of Star Tribune one day.
Oh, I was going to be like newspaper. GQ or something. Hey, you know what? We're back to Star Tribune
he
again.
Could be
Tell me
GQ
again about Matt DeLong.
Right. He could be on the cover of GQ.
He was on the cover.
GQ. But yeah, he was on the cover of Star Tribune, and I was looking for some insurance, and I said, you know what? He looks really slick. Like, he has slick back hair. I mean, he looks like he could be like in The Sopranos or something.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah. Or like on Scarface, and I said, you know, that's my kind of guy.
Well,
so
great.
I reached out to him, and now he's my insurance guy.
Now he's your insurance
guy. Yeah, I don't use anybody else. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, you get bigger. Sometimes you need other people, but I'm sure Corey will take care of it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
welcome,
he's just
Corey.
Very knowledgeable.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, and don't worry. We'll grow with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
A problem. We'll figure it out.
Bigger? Yeah. We've got bigger for you.
They've got bigger.
Yeah. I tell people he is the cannabis insurance guy.
I mean, I don't see anybody else at every single cannabis event like Corey is.
I don't know.
So anybody that's putting in that level of effort, I think... Why wouldn't you let him write it?
Yeah, and he's the most knowledgeable cannabis insurance guy in the state that I know of.
Well, we're about to get into that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's fucking ready, man.
We're going to have... Okay, so let's find out a little bit about his history, and then we're going to throw some Calandra questions his way.
Look at this.
Ooh, let's go.
I'm nervous. But I'm ready. I'm nervous and ready all at the same time. And actually,
parenting.
A lot of this great stuff about being an insurance guy and having an attorney is that a lot of this stuff just gets thrown right back.
Right. Yeah, see, and I get to watch it all. I get to watch it. I'm just spectator it. Here. It's lovely. You're like, what do you do, Lance? You're like, I drink and eat all of the things. Some people call me an expert, I guess.
An expert.
Here we are. So anyways, an expert in insurance, probably. But let's get a little bit of background, right? Like, you know, maybe we don't need to go 20 plus years ago, but you know, what got you started in insurance? What do you really enjoy about insurance? Because some people really like insurance. Some people really like accounting.
Yeah. So take the first part of the question first.
Sure.
How did you get started in insurance?
The easy answer is my dad.
Okay.
So my father owned an insurance agency and still does work in the insurance space. He merged with another company a handful of years ago. So I grew up
in an
insurance household.
Okay.
So that was sort of the gateway. Now, that wasn't my path. I did start in insurance when I was in my early 20s. My father's focus was on middle market accounts. And being a person in their 20s and going into larger companies and asking for their insurance really didn't fly.
Right.
So I spent a couple of years learning and trying to understand it. I also didn't have very much business experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then ended up going into the music space. So I did music retail. We can actually go back 25 years.
Whoa.
So 25 years ago, I started in music retail, ended up opening a store. So I had a music store with a recording studio for 20 years.
Wow.
And then eventually had an exit. So sold the music store. It still exists today. It's in Phoenix City, Alabama. So the guy that bought the music store moved it out there.
Yeah.
Then got to be a stay-at-home dad for 2 years. Well, my daughter was 8 months old, so until she was two. And then my father called and said, hey, what do you think? You want to try this insurance thing again?
So the gap there was almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Absolutely. But what happened in those 30 years is I got business experience.
Right.
I also had a network. So when I got back into it, I now understood what I was supposed to be doing 25 years ago. And that was pretty amazing. I also had a network. So my first clients were music-related clients. Mm-hmm. So guitar manufacturers, pedal manufacturers, stores. So basically that entire vertical of idea to manufacturing to then, you know, retail and those sort of things.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
I love
Who knew that was coming out of there?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, insurance, what are we going to talk about? I'm going to have to be hilarious. And it turns out, no, we got a rock star.
Yeah.
Or at least one that brought in a bunch of rock stars to their store.
Yeah. So wait a minute. So you said the store is in Alabama.
Correct.
What were you doing in Alabama?
So I was here, and the gentleman that purchased the store was flying to and from Alabama to take care of his parents. And at that time, we had our daughter, who's now 10. And I was winding down at that point. Retail for that long. And the days of Christmas sort of ended, where we would get a new product in, and I really wanted to test it and try it and play with it. It was getting to be more like, you know what, leave it in the box, because we've got to sell that as quickly as we can.
Yeah.
I'm not really interested in playing anymore. Mm-hmm. So once that sort of started to wear off, and then having a new baby, I was tired.
Sure.
So, and he was flying to and from Alabama to take care of his parents at that point. So eventually he's like, I'm going to have to move. I have to go there because I have to be with them 24 hours a day.
And right.
I said, well, what are you going to do? And he goes, I'm going to open a music store. I said, I have an idea. You should take this one.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
Cool.
So he ended up purchasing the music store. Again, still exists today, American Guitar Boutique. It's in Phoenix City, Alabama.
Sweet.
Still selling guitars. And then I still get to dabble and play around. And, you know, I still have a bunch of gear. And
sure.
It's fun stuff like that. But now it's back to where it was in the beginning, where it was fun. And when I see new things, I actually get to play with them and have a good time and enjoy it. Yeah,
that reminds me of what my daughter said once. She was like, so I started, she was doing like AP art or something in high school, and she's out of high school now. But I was like, are you going to go to college for art? Or what is it going to be? And she's like, I kind of don't want to ruin it. And I'm like, oh, I get that, right? But I wouldn't have gotten that at that age, right? But she's intelligent enough to be like, I don't want to ruin this for myself. And I was like, oh, good daughter.
I love
That's smart of you, right?
Absolutely.
So she dropped out of AP art when she was in high school. And she's like, this isn't fun. And I want art to still be fun. And I'm like, drop it. Get it. Get rid of it. She sure did. And then art was good again.
Yep.
Yeah. So now music is fun again.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, I just went and had a guitar lesson with one of my old guitar instructors.
Yeah.
So really?
That was amazing. Yeah, I haven't done that in a long time. It was probably 8 years since my last guitar lesson. So
that's
to be
wonderful.
Able to, you know, pick that back up again and enjoy it. Took me about 3 years to be able to listen to Christmas music again.
Oh, I bet.
If you don't know, we start Christmas music at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And you
sometimes earlier
to holiday music 8 hours a day.
Wow.
6 days a week.
Yep. I was very restrictive when I was managing Verizon stores.
Yeah.
I was very, very restrictive about this holiday music thing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it happened when I was gone, but while I was there, it didn't happen.
See, I gotta
you gotta have the one place that you can go into and not hear it, you know?
Yeah. You know, during the holidays, I'll play a little bit of it.
Yeah.
It'll be kind of mixed in my playlist. You know, it might be one every 10 songs.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. And it's usually a hip hop Christmas song.
Sure.
It might be a gospel Christmas song or like just kind of a music version, like a jazzy Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the old Christmas songs. I hate that.
We found a lot of fun holiday music because, you know, you listen to the same 10 records over and over again.
Yeah.
Eventually, I had to start hunting things down.
Yeah.
So you go from music, and retail to fathering, right? Staying home and being the cool dad that they didn't have any idea how cool you were, I'm sure. is at their age, but
still doesn't. Hey, 10, still not that cool.
Oh, at 10, still doesn't. Yeah, I estimate and also recommend to other folks. I don't think it happens until 25 before the kids really start to understand the level.
I agree with you.
Of coolness,
100%.
Probably not until they have a child, and probably not until they own a home or something like this. There's got to be some sort of struggle in there.
Inflation, when they realize they can't make it without you. Then they're like, you know what? You are pretty cool.
Yeah. Will you buy me dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, instead of like, we're like, hey, can we go out to lunch? And they're like, I'm busy.
Yeah. Right?
Like, all of a sudden they start letting you pay for meals again. And you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And then during the meal, they say, can you make my car payment?
Yeah. That shit's this not month. Happening with me.
It does with me.
I mean, I did like get the car, but I didn't have to buy the car. Luckily enough, it was given, not by me, to my daughter, which was great.
Give my kid.
I didn't even have to mess around with it. And then she cracked it up a couple of different times, and then I got to help fix those things.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What you do.
So then to insurance, right? No. So Pop says, hey, and you're like, I guess, right? And absolutely. Then you... naturally, we kind of start to find our lane. Hopefully, we find the lane that we enjoy, which it sounds as though you did, and you're not just in some corporate insurance doing stuffy stuff.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, when I originally started, it was basically music-related, and then venues and restaurants and those sort of things. So, really, the entire entertainment cycle.
Sure.
And then that led us up to around 2018, and cannabis started to become a thing, and that really piqued my interest. So I started getting into the government side.
Okay.
And started going down to the House and the Senate to what I really wanted to understand was how this was going to roll out and how I could be more proactive on the insurance side. And I figured being in the room where the rules and regulations and stuff was going to be done, that would give me either a leg up. And it would also introduce me to sort of the culture on a myriad of different levels.
Right.
You've got the advocates, you've got the people that are protesting it, you've got the people that are writing stuff into law, and it's all being done at the same time, which I had never experienced any sort of government work before. Mm-hmm. And the times that I had, it ended up being so confusing that it was really hard to sort of unpack. This was I understood we're going to legalize cannabis, right, and there wasn't much more to it. Obviously, we had the original omnibus bill, which I learned about that, and then from there it was strictly cannabis. So that was a very good sort of entry point for me to get in and really understand how it was all going to work.
So in 2020, when the cannabis bill or the marijuana legalization bill passed the House and not the Senate, were you still hopeful that one day we were going to have a legal marijuana bill?
Yeah, I would say even after California or Colorado and California. I mean, I think once those issues sort of get wedged in and we're talking a little bit earlier about psychedelics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like we had that legalization, and we're not even nationally legal yet with cannabis, and all of a sudden now we've got psychedelics. Mm-hmm. So as soon as that issue sort of breaks through one place, you sort of know it's going to go across the nation eventually. So, yeah, I mean, I was very hopeful. I do also talk about 20 years ago where, I mean, for me, you know, I talk about I don't use cannabis anymore, and it's been 21 years since I've used anything. 20 years ago, this wasn't a thing. It wasn't an idea. Right. This wasn't going to happen in my lifetime. So to all of a sudden be here, to me is amazing.
I know I'm your favorite client. Okay. What do you like most about this industry and working with so many different cannabis business owners?
Yeah, it really reminds me a lot of the music industry. It's independent artists trying to create something. There's no best. There's just, I see it as a art form, And I also see it as both on the grow side, but even on the retail side, these are all art forms. I mean, this is, it's not, you can't just go, this is how it's done, or say it's the best. This is the way to do it. You know, you have, everybody's got different ideas and different methodologies and different opinions. And that to me is very exciting. And I'm really looking forward to these sort of next steps of being able to grow, see what people are able to produce, and then those retail experiences that people are going to have, all of the different ways that the kids are figuring out how to create new products.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, the whole CBD thing, low-dose hemp, was amazing to see and unexpected. You know, the country had adult recreational and medical, and that was it. And Minnesota is sort of that glowing example of, oh, wait, now we've got this low-dose hemp-derived product, and it works, and it fits into the mix. Now what do we do with it?
Right.
And that's been even one of the more interesting things with the insurance side, is we're chasing what's happening with the industry. So the industry is really starting to dictate what the insurance companies have to figure out. So we're behind the industry, which usually isn't a thing.
Right.
The only thing that I can liken this to is cyber insurance. So when cyber became a thing, somebody started to figure out how do we insure this, and then we were chasing cyber insurance, and we still are.
Yeah.
It's still very, you know, there's great programs out there, but there's new cyber risks all the time. So you get to learn something new every single day, and that's been probably one of the most exciting things.
Right. You've got your actuaries and things like that. Those are the number peoples. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there going, okay, cool. What about this? And what about this? And what about this? There's not a whole lot of that as far as, like, sure, your store gets broken into, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, there's that, right? And it's even greater when it's like a full-on recreational dispensary. Then it's more dangerous. We were even talking about walls and not government walls, but actual, like, physical walls, barriers to enter a space kind of thing. But yeah, it's, you know, figuring out the, you know, on sale, you know, kind of situation and the off sale situation. Mm-hmm. And now we can have, THC beverages on tap. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, people are, as we always seem to do, right, there's people that are going to freak out about it. And then there's other people that are maybe should be having a little bit of anxiousness about it that have zero. They're like, whatever, it's going to be fine. Right. Mm-hmm. But this on-site consumption, which is what everybody wants to do, right? So cannabis, you know, Legacy Cup, on-site consumption. We look at some of these other places, the Invent Insurance situation that we're that we have. But just the actuaries don't have enough, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that they have enough data from this, right? Like, and you said that there isn't best, and I'm going to challenge that, and I'm going to challenge it and say there is the best, and it's Minnesota, and we're the best as of right now in THC beverage. There's a bunch of folks that are going to say,
we're the best.
There's a bunch of folks that are going to say, yes, but we were doing that already. Yeah, I get it, but you didn't blow it up like we did, right? So you're welcome, right? Keep talking about us. We're having fun. We want to have fun in your state with you. Hit us up. Let's collab. Let's have some fun, right? But the insurance question part of this is, you know, sure, I can spend another $4,000 or $5,000 a year so that, you know, my dram shop insurance or my on-site consumption, alcohol consumption license, my liquor license, all of these different things are protected. But it costs a bunch of money and it has, like, very low coverage. Right? So let's talk about that a little bit. Is there any sense in that? What does it mean? How do our listeners, how do you answer that for our listeners?
Great question. I talk about this a lot. As an insurance agent, you got to cover your assets.
Right.
at the end of the day. There are lots of different coverages, especially in the cannabis space. Cannabis is interesting because every coverage is a line item. We don't have things like a BOP policy. There is a company out there that has created a business owner's policy. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a bar or restaurant, there are bar and restaurant programs where all the stuff gets piled into a nice little package.
Yeah.
And we can give that to you and away you go. That hasn't happened yet in this industry. And you're right. When you say that there's just not enough information, that's 100% accurate.
Right.
We need the entire country to be legal, to be able to get information from every single state, because every single state is different. And then we need to combine all of that information to truly get an idea of what this looks like from an actuarial standpoint.
Right.
The example that I use is you can take the Honda Civic as the example. I mean, they can tell you pretty much within a very, very tight margin of error how many Honda Civics are going to get into car accidents, how many are going to need repairs. I mean, they have enough data on right. that vehicle to really be able to go, okay, we're going to insure it for this amount of money in this area.
Right.
And it really depends on where you live, where the car is parked. I mean, there's all of these things, all these data points that you need in order to get that information. Minnesota being the best in the beverage industry there right now, which is absolutely accurate, is pioneering. I mean, we are pioneering this ground. We have been for a couple of years. I speak directly to either insurance brokerages or insurance companies trying to figure this out. We are lucky that we have any products at all at this point for the dram shop, which they're calling gram shop,
right.
for the on-site consumption liability.
And so for everybody else to understand what that is, right, if you're kind of curious and you're just here to be like, oh, I heard there's information here. Well, welcome. And gram shop insurance is how we weigh cannabis. Mm-hmm. We weigh it in grams and ounces and, you know, we get to bigger pounds and stuff like that. But that's why it's gram shop.
I think you should also explain what an actuary is.
Oh, I think we let the insurance person explain that.
I think that's a great idea because he's got a lot of information and I want to make sure we hit all of it.
I think so. Yeah. We've got time.
Yeah, actuaries are people that that do the math to calculate the risk. So if you, again, using the Honda Civic, they're going to take all of the informational data points and figure out what it's going to cost to insure a Honda Civic in a certain, again, demographic. Mm-hmm. It could be many, many, many things. But it allows them to create the rate of insurance. So this would include things like lawsuits. How many people get injured in car accidents that then result into a lawsuit, or injuries would be the better sort of metric mm-hmm. for that. How many people get into car accidents and because of the rating of the vehicle actually break a bone or something mm-hmm. catastrophic happens. And then they use that to calculate the rate. And they do that with everything.
Right. But let me throw one at you. Okay, now it's a Tesla Cybertruck.
Okay.
So a Tesla Cybertruck, mm-hmm. I don't want to call it cannabis by any means, but in this example, right, you look at cannabis as a new industry, newish, than almost a lot of other things, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look at the Cybertruck, mm-hmm. right? There's not a lot of actuarial data on the Cybertruck.
But there is, because one, we understand trucks.
Got it.
So we've got trucks, plenty of trucks. And then they have to go through an entire rigorous amount of testing okay. on that truck. So they're going to know what happens when they crash it into a pole at 20 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour. So they're doing all of these tests for that truck before it gets out into the world.
Got it.
And initially, the insurance is going to be more expensive. It's just the right. way that it, and that's where we're sitting today. I mean, we're talking about how expensive this insurance is. This is a great sort of segue
yeah.
into that, where it's, we don't know. We don't know how many Cybertrucks are going to be produced, Could be 10,000, it could be 100,000. We know what the pre-sales are, but we don't know how many they're actually going to make. So depending on how many are on the road and then where those are. So initially, usually the insurance comes out and it's more expensive until we get that data that we need in order to create a better idea of what the risks are
right
at the end of the day. And actually, it's interesting to, you know, we talk about the risk profiles of, say, dispensaries. Mm-hmm. And one of the most recent things that I heard from another insurance podcast actually was that the losses that we have sustained in the industry are not different than any other industry out there. So retail being a great one, I like to use dispensaries just because I think that's an easy thing for people to understand. Break-ins and dispensaries happen, and it's what we talk about, but that also happens at all the stores. You know, we have seen an uptick in thefts in major retail stores. You know, not to pick on anybody, but JCPenney's or Target or people just going in, scooping up handfuls of stuff and walking out the door.
Right.
New York had a nice little rash of high-end theft where people were going into Gucci and Louis Vuitton and taking out 50 bags and not getting stopped.
Right.
And that has a lot to do with insurance. We don't see security guards at the front door anymore because it's less expensive to allow somebody to take a bunch of stuff than it is to chase them down and possibly get hurt or have something catastrophic happen. Mm-hmm. Especially adult recreational ones, the security is so tight that people aren't just going to walk in and take stuff. But we do see incredible break-ins. Calandra and I were speaking earlier about sort of that Mission Impossible style break-in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how, I mean, really, that just doesn't happen that often.
Mm-hmm.
But it does happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our viewers, I'm sure, want to know about the different types of cannabis insurance and kind of how much they're looking at if you're just starting off and what are some of the things they should be considering.
Cannabis is no different than any other product. So we do insurance seed to sale. And I like to use orange juice as kind of the way to think about it. So you have the orange juice seed resellers that are going to sell you the seed to grow the orange tree. That tree is going to grow up on a farm. We've got, so that's the cultivation piece. We're going to then take those oranges and then we're going to process them. So we've got a processing facility and you can sell just the raw oranges. Or we can now turn those into a product. So now we've got products manufacturers. So we're going to take those oranges and now we're going to turn it into whatever orange juice you want. Those will turn into products and those products will then go to a store shelf. So depending on where you are in that space will depend on what types of insurances you need. But it's really no different. So you can take, again, if we use the store, any retail store is going to have the same types of insurance. And you're insuring against the same concepts. In that analogy, general liability is going to be the first thing that you need. And that's kind of across the board. If you're a product manufacturer, a store, farm, any of those things, general liability is sort of the one that you need to make sure that, you know, that your initial stuff is safe. But on top of that, if you need a certificate of insurance, if you're going to go and do a farmer's market or any of these shows that are coming up, they're going to ask for a certificate of insurance. The general liability is the one that they're looking at.
Right.
Okay. That's the thing you need. Yep. So that's the first one. I can speak mostly to the low dose market because that's where we're at right now. And I can, you know, I'll speak a little bit to adult recreational and medical, but the low dose market, general liability seems to be ranging anywhere from about the $3,500 mark to the $5,000 mark, sometimes a little bit more, and it depends on the products that you're selling.
And is that annually?
That is annual.
Okay.
Yep. So, and you know, we can break that into monthly installments, sure, those sort of things. That's pretty normal. But so if you are doing let's say low dose beverages and gummies, it's going to be on the lower side. If you're getting into vape products or any ingestibles or smokables, that sort of stuff, it goes up quite a bit.
Inhalables. Yeah, versus ingestible, yeah. Because ingestible wouldn't be the gummies and the beverage, right? Okay, so inhalable.
Yep. So that's the first one. The next one is going to be like a products liability. So the one thing that we can package together right now is general liability and products liability. Everybody should carry products liability as well. And that's if somebody gets hurt using the product or say they got hurt using the product.
Right.
At the end of the day. But a great example of that is I had a client who received a phone call. Wasn't really a problem, but received a phone call, and it was a gentleman that had a THC beverage and got sick. The reason why he got sick was that he was on a medication to help him stop drinking. So there is a medication out in the world right now that will either help you slow down or quit drinking alcohol. What had happened is the beverage that he had consumed had been sitting on the shelf long enough to start to ferment. It had enough alcohol in it to trigger his medication, which was pretty amazing. Yeah. So he ended up getting sick, again, not terribly sick, but enough for him to contact both the product and the product manufacturer, because it was listed on the can,
right,
and let them know that's what was going on, which was a really kind of interesting moment for me to go, oh, wow, there is a lot of medications that interact with grapefruit.
Right.
So if you've got a drink with grapefruit in it and it's not listed on the can or it's not noticeable, somebody could have an adverse reaction.
Yep.
That's products liability. And in products liability, and the reason why everybody needs to have it is because it's going to start with the product. It's going to go to the product manufacturer. It may go to the ingredients supplier.
Right.
It goes through the entire chain, depending on, of course, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that ends up being pretty darn important. And I would say especially once we get into doing cartridges and those sort of things, that's going to be very important. And flour.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well,
I love it.
That's a good amount of information so far. I think we're going to take a little bit of a break.
All right. Sounds good. We'll be right back.